Sweet. We are live. Mr. John Farjo, how are you today?
I am great, Joe. How are you?
And feeling better from your 18 hours in Las Vegas at Money 2020.
I think more than one day in Las Vegas is too much. So we did it just right.
Yes, it was perfect. It was a great time. Thanks again, Marshall and everyone Will at the Proton Metallicus team for having us out there. Today, guys and gals, welcome to episode 123 of Lunar Crush Live. We'll be joined with Robert Bryan, founder of Karate Combat. Really excited to dive deep with him and learn about what they're building over there. They just launched a DAO as well. I think everything is already live. They've got the ownership going. I think voting's happening. He'll tell us a little bit more about that. Also coming up next week, a reminder, we will be at the LA Blockchain Summit. We are the title sponsors over there. So something really cool that we're doing this year. If you go to lunarcrush.com/labs, if you are a level 5 user on Lunar Crush, you get a free ticket into the LA Blockchain Summit. John and I will be there. We're going to be talking about the last year in crypto, all the news, all the craziness that went down. And, you know, there's a lot of building going on out there, and this will be a fun one. So if you've never been to a little bit more bear market conference, I would say get your butt out there, because that's where the building happens. Also a disclaimer from us, as always, we do not take payment for our live stream. We bring on folks who have either dedicated their lives and careers to the space, or people that are coming up and building and are dedicating their lives now to the space. So with that, we're just going to roll this little intro, and then we will bring, Robert right up here. Robert, my man, how you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course.
Welcome.
Appreciate you being here. So we always like to start, where are you in the world today and what's it like there?
I'm actually in Universal Studios backlot in Orlando, Florida. We have an event October 29th, so I'm on site here getting everything ready.
Awesome. And so when exactly is the next event?
So the preliminary card, Saturday at 7 p.m. The main card starts at 9 p.m. You can watch our content anywhere, karate.com. We're on, Facebook, Twitter, all live streamed. So we're pretty much available everywhere. And I encourage everyone to watch the event and see what we've been up to.
Yeah, I definitely want to dive in a little bit on kind of the digital presence and how you guys are building that out. But first, I watched the Mina Daniels fight. And some like very, if people aren't familiar with MMA, one of the things that I noticed very quickly was you're kind of promoting, like striking and standing. There's like a little bit less of this kind of like ground and pound that's going on, but it's still part of it. And there was like someone that started to count down as soon as someone either kind of went to the mat. But what are some of the nuances and differences there? Cause I noticed also at the end of the fight, which like Daniels, I don't think I'd ever want to catch like on a wrong day in a dark corner or somewhere. I think that guy was just a monster. But, he at the end of the fight said, he's like, man, he was like excited to go and like actually hit someone. And so I was like, I don't know if the rules are a lot different than the Olympics and stuff, but it seems like you've found such an interesting niche here with the type of consumer. Like I feel like this is like a date night thing where like, if you go to like an MMA fight, you're just kind of like, I don't know. It's more of like you got to go with your friends, because you never know if someone had like too many drinks and you end up in like the Raiders like end zone with the wrong colors on or something.
Yeah. So I can go over our rule set a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be great.
So Karate Combat is the world's leading striking league. We got karate in the name, but it's not just karate. It's all sorts of martial arts. And the big difference between us and mixed martial arts, if you're familiar with the UFC, in our rule set, it's all striking. So when they're on the ground wrestling, referred to as grappling, we don't have that. So you can throw the combatant, but then he, after 4 seconds, if he can't win the fight, both fighters are stood back up. And, there's a whole back and forth in combat sports, what's really a real fight, right? If you're going to be in a bar fight or something like that, you're not going to want to be rolling around on the floor for 2 minutes. So there's a lot of back and forth about what resembles a real fight. But at the end of the day, it's just much more exciting and it's more mainstream. watching the stand-up fighting, and our audience loves it. And I think that's a big reason of why we've grown so quickly. And the last thing I'd add is in the UFC, you know, you see a lot of highlight reels of these crazy kicks, things like that, but that's honestly very rare in that league. You know, if I try to do a spinning kick, the guy grabs my leg, takes me down, I can lose the fight. With us, you know, you're stood back up afterwards. So it really allows the fighters to do every type of crazy technique you see. And it's, you know, really allows them to use all a wider range of techniques. And I think it's much more exciting.
It was like the first time I saw someone go down, and then it, like, the countdown started. At first you had that little thing of like, oh, isn't this supposed to happen? And then, but once it was like the second or third time, I was like, wow, I'm actually seeing a lot more striking and potentially knockouts. And it felt better. Right. It felt like, okay, they're like, these guys have, there's just a different technique there. And then after that first time, I was like, wow, this is super interesting.
Yep. You know, that's sort of how we, that's what we designed it to be. So if you look, you know, karate's been around for 100 years, but Olympic karate was point fighting when it started, you know, in the 70s. So, you know, if you hit the person too hard, you actually lose. And believe it or not, it was a huge controversy that happened earlier this year. Gold medal fight, you know, one person got knocked out, and the guy who did the knocking out actually lost the fight. But when we took the point fighting rule set and we made it full contact, we had this sport that's been around forever, and we were able to change a number of different rules. So when you look at it, you just say, oh, wow, this is awesome. You know, it looks like a highlight reel, and it's exciting. But we made a whole bunch of little changes to get it there. So, for instance, one small difference, you know, in the UFC and mixed martial arts, the biggest scoring criteria is effective striking, effective damage. You know, it's basically more or less, you know, how bad you hurt the guy. So, you know, if that's the way I'm being scored, I can just sit back. And aggression's a criteria, but that's the third criteria. In karate combat, that's the number one criteria. So, you know, you have a lot of people going in, you know, trying to be as active as possible. And it also leads to a number of spectacular knockouts because you've got these guys, you know, trying really hard to be as aggressive as possible. And that opens the door for counterattacks as well. So, yeah, overall, the rule set's tremendously exciting. I think that's a big part of the reason that we've grown so quickly over the last 4 years.
That's amazing. And I want to share something really quick here, because after I, you know, I was watching the fight, I was super impressed with the fight. But then, like, I want everyone to notice this, because it was not about the fight. The thing that I think impressed me the most about what you guys did here, which was,
he doesn't really want to engage with Raymond Daniels, you know, and Raymond in the other way. And the other hand, he knows that if he tried to...
Now, that background right there, when I saw that, I was like, where in the world are these guys? Like, what is going on here? And I was like, they're not out. It's not outside. Is it paint? Is it, like, what is going on here? And then I read, this is actually rendering Unreal Engine.
Yep. And we've got a big surprise for you on the one on the show coming up this Saturday. But we'll have some unique things in the background, Halloween related. But yeah, it's actually an interesting story how we got to that point. So when we first started the league, you know, we did a whole bunch of product market testing. You know, we would get 18 kids in a room and see what they liked. And for the first season, we had events in exotic locations. So we had an event on top of the World Trade Center. It was awesome. You know, we had an event in the Greek Acropolis, all these amazing places, which as an older fan, I thought was cool. But whenever we did the marketing, the kids said, no, man, it would be so much cooler to have it in a virtual world. So we had a great first season. And then we actually made the investment to have this virtual background. So, you know, you've got live Olympic caliber fighters, and then you have that great virtual background that you see. And we actually had to open a production company. We went out to Budapest, and we used to shoot it with a big green screen. And those shows were on tape delay. So we would shoot the show, you know, chop it up, and then show it later in the day once the backgrounds had been rendered. Now, with Unreal Engine, we were doing it using the technology that they use for movies. With Unreal Engine, the same one that you're seeing in all these video games, it's now advanced enough that you can use it for movie quality production. So The Mandalorian was actually done using Unreal Engine. And rather than have a green screen, you have an LED screen in the background. So that allows the fans to enjoy as well. It's really unique, and the background changes based on which camera we're shooting. So we're the only sport out there that does a live, you know, seven camera shoot, fully virtual production, which is what this technique is called. And, you know, the one difference I would say when you see it live, the background cuts off halfway through. And above that, we just insert using XR as well. So it's even a cooler experience viewing it online.
This is about the closest thing I've seen taking the real world and the metaverse and bringing them together.
Yes.
You have such a path ahead with that. That's really amazing.
I love, you know, when you talk about not as many folks there necessarily on the ground, it was still, the atmosphere was still very alive, but maybe you could talk a little bit about just the digital audience that you guys have created out there. I saw a couple hundred thousand YouTube subscribers. I'm sure you guys are getting a bunch across different channels, across social. I mean, how has, you know, thinking about getting out to the world with a new brand, a newer sport. And I know we should talk a little bit about the history too, because nothing good happens fast, right? So, but how are you thinking about kind of digitally getting out there to those fans? You said you had a little bit of a younger user base as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's not just one thing. It's designing your entire product to resonate with your audience, which for us is sub 34-year-old. And we've done an amazing job. So over 4 years, we've grown from zero to last month, we were a top 25 sport across social media. And when you think the top, you know, the top 10 are going to be football, F1 and all that, it's really amazing that we've come this far. And in addition to have a really exciting product, which we spoke about, another big thing to us was having it available in the places that our customer lives. So if someone actually told me this funny story who was in media, you know, when baseball originally started and TV came along, they didn't want to have it on TV because they thought it was going to cannibalize popcorn sales. And yep. I think everyone still has the same sort of ideas today. You know, you've got all of these media companies that make you pay an insane amount of money in order to watch their media. With us, it's free. It's available everywhere. And what we do that's very unique is, even though we're on TV in 100 countries, and not just a small channel, we're on the top sports channel in over 100 countries, you know, Global in Brazil, Match TV in Russia. We're the first combat sport on Eurosport 1 in a decade across Europe. But the same time it's on TV, you can watch it digitally as well. So just having our content open, available, you know, we're very open source with everything, you know, all of our highlights can be shown, all of that, and you know, just having this exciting content out there and easily available, I think that's a big reason that we've been able to grow so fast. You know, we're currently doing, you know, 2 million linear over TV views per episode, 6 million digital views. And across all of our platforms, we get 200 million views every month. So it's really taken off, and you know, everyone loves our product. So we're excited about taking it to the next stage with some Web3 tools.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, I saw you have launched the DAO, and what first, why? Like, you know, and maybe you can kind of weave in a little bit the history of kind of where you guys started and where you've been, and what's the inflection point there that you said, hey, now is the time. I like how you're always saying it's never just one thing. Like, it's kind of how John and I think too. It's like you just keep building around, but maybe just talk a little bit about, you know, why kind of lean into Web3, why lean into, you know, that piece of it. Obviously there's something there with everything's free, you know, you're bringing your audience in to have a piece of it. So I'd love to hear more.
So we think our Web3 strategy is revolutionary, and it's going to change the way fans are involved with our league in a very unique way. And we think it will allow us to grow from, you know, the 25th biggest sport to top five in a couple of years. You know, that's how strongly we feel about it. And it all comes down to gaining new customers and having them involved in an interesting way. So there's a lot to unpack here with the DAO and all that, but I think the easiest way is just to go through, you know, our new customer experience. So, you know, you can sign on cry.com/airdrop for the airdrop. But what the customer sees, they might not even be familiar with crypto. They might not even know how it's powered. But basically a user gets a link and it says, look, download Karate Combat app and you'll get whatever, call it 1,000 coins, right? It's very simple, you know, as a thin wallet in the app. And when they download the app, they have their coins and a fight's coming up and they can pick the fighter that either they like the best or they think is going to win. If he wins, they receive more tokens. If he loses, they don't lose any of their tokens. So it's not regulated gaming, but obviously it incentivizes the fans to have a really vested outcome in the fight. And that's a tool that we couldn't have even done in Web3 two or three years ago, but we're borrowing on, you know, what we've seen happen in GameFi and DeFi and taking those tools and bringing them to sports. And we think that part of our Web3 strategy is the killer application for us. And as a traditional, you know, an owner of a traditional physical business, you know, if I look at our competitors, if there's a new fighter, they have to spend so many marketing dollars to get you to care about him. You know, it's all about fight buildup. Whereas with us, all of a sudden, the consumer will instantly have a vested interest in the outcome of the fight. So even if they've never heard of this person, they're going to go on, they're going to research him, they're going to see a really exciting fight, and they're going to become more involved. You know, sports are the stickiest business in the world. So that's the core or killer application of our Web3 strategy from a high level.
Robert, what brought you to this? I mean, are you like a true believer in the space? Is the entire Karate Combat entity like all excited about this? What brought you to this point?
Well, I've started a number of different companies, but over the past 5 years, you know, I've been 100% dedicated to the sports league. I've always followed crypto. I've always been interested in the space, but I never really saw a great overlap. The co-founder as well, as he's even more involved in the space. He was founder of another project in the space. And, you know, we were always looking to figure out how to combine the two. And to tell you the truth, we saw a lot of the tools in DeFi. So in terms of just, you know, snapshot voting, you know, the way we've seen governance work in some of these DeFi protocols, you know, all that really hadn't been developed. And as we saw the tools come together a year ago, we sort of had a eureka moment. We said, hey, look, we can offer this up-only gaming, you know, utility to our users to engage more fans. And as soon as we had the idea, we've been running with it 100% over the last year, putting this all into place. And it's going to launch in early December, and we're really excited about it.
It's amazing. Amazing. But also paired with your demographics, it's even more amazing. You know, and it's sort of you're like letting your community participate in the actual sport versus like when you think of maybe like renting on pay-per-view, like a UFC fight, you know, that demographic is going to have a hard time shelling out $100 or whatever it costs that night. And it's an expense versus a participatory experience. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I saw a Nielsen report. And believe it or not, you know, combat sports are still growing quickly, but their viewership base is getting very old. And it's because you have to pay, you know, I think they even just moved the price up, you know, $65 to watch your fight. And when you look at the total spend of a customer over a year, it's crazy. And, you know, the younger generation, you know, doesn't want to pay for content that way. And a lot of people can't afford it. You know, as far as the communities, it's very funny because people in sports, if you make a Venn diagram of, you know, the people in sports, you know, the people doing crypto investing, you know, the people doing gaming, gambling, actually, you know, that Venn diagram would be three circles on top of each other. You know, it's really the exact same demographic. So, you know, we've got our core, you know, traditional sports audience. And then we're also bringing, you know, this new crypto community as well that we hope to engage, and we hope they'll be interested in what we're doing. And the communities are very similar. But one thing I noticed, you know, I've always followed, you know, crypto for some time now. And for me, I would think, you know, everybody, you know, in that demo would have a wallet and would be active just for my personal life. But that's not really the way it is. So even though we have the exact same demo, the number of the perfect demo for crypto, the number of people with wallets is only like 10 or 15% of our fans, something like that. So we think we're going to bring a lot of these traditional sports fans to the Web3 community. And, you know, a lot of the partners we've been working with, you know, Hedera, you know, we're now talking to a number of other people in the ecosystem. And I think everyone's just really excited about, you know, this large mass of new people that we're going to bring over.
Robert, how do you, you know, like a lot of the advice that we talk to with big brands that come into the space, you know, and they want to do an NFT drop or they want to do something. And our advice is always, you know, crypto can kind of sniff out authenticity or, you know, very easily, or anything that is fake, right? And so how do you kind of signal and know and push out to the community that, you know, you are going all in on, you know, the way that you're building this, because I think the longevity of it is, you know, the authenticity that comes through that is really what actually enables that network effect that you're talking about, where now everyone can participate, be a part of the brand, and how do you, you know, give them some value to be a part of what you're building?
Well, for starters, you know, I think we kind of went on authenticity because we had a very, very valuable sports league, and we've already moved the whole thing to a DAO. There's no other equity or anything else in our league. You know, all of the assets of this league that, you know, I put my blood, sweat, and tears creating, it's all part of the DAO now. And when the fans get the tokens, they have the same tokens I own. And, you know, it's funny when you talk about authenticity, you know, I think there's two things out there. You know, you got these new brands coming that aren't Web3 centric, you know, all right, well, you know, but there, you know, you have a basketball team. Yeah, you can drop an NFT, but it's not really core to what they're doing. You know, they're just using a lot of star power to kind of sell something to the community. With what we're doing, we think that the Web3 part of is just core to our actual league, right? It's the way the league is governed. It provides all this value to our fans, and it just affects everything we do in a major way. You know, we're literally almost half a project, half a traditional company. And as I got more involved in some of the similar, what some of the other guys have done in Web3 with DAOs, you know, I noticed a lot of them weren't that straightforward. You know, try to find a lot of the documents on some of these DAOs, and it's not really clear, you know, who owns what. And we want to take everything a step forward in that sense. So, you know, like I said, there's no other assets outside the DAO, but we're also going to release, you know, exactly how all the voting works. Everything's going to be open source. You know, we're going to have our, you know, the foundation company trust documents, so everyone can see, you know, what's really happening, you know, and what is sort of owned by what in the whole ecosystem. So we're going all the way with transparency. And, you know, the other big part is that the DAO allows the community to become involved in some of the decision making of the league. That's another concept that really wasn't, you know, sort of the constrained governance wasn't really developed, and, you know, until recently. Mm-hmm. And if you look out there in the community, there's low participation. What we're doing, you know, we're not saying, you know, vote on this complicated protocol. You know, you get to pick who's going to fight who. That's something everyone can enjoy. You know, you get to vote on what new fighters we're signing, which is something the community is really passionate about. So I think we're taking a lot of these Web3 tools, using them in a new way that's really going to engage the community. And that's just sort of like another example of what we're doing. And we're doing it in the most authentic way possible.
I want to go back on, like, that's a huge point, moving from like a company to a DAO. And, you know, I guess, how did that actually go? Like, how did you actually do that? And then I guess, you know, if everything's moving to the DAO, if like a sponsor wants to work with Karate Combat, does the revenue go into the DAO, or how does that all work?
Well, you know, from a high level, it was difficult taking a traditional business and making the transition, but we're already reaping the benefits. And that's helped get the whole company on board. So it was a long process. You know, for me, I'm familiar with the space. As soon as we had this idea of upload-only gaming, you know, I said, oh, this is a home run. Let's go 100% forward. But we have to, you know, teach everyone in the business, you know, maybe one of our guys has been doing fighter operations for 20 years and doesn't have the faintest idea about cryptocurrency. So we had to kind of get all of them on board. You know, we did simple things. You know, we shut down our company Slack. And we forced them all to go into Discord. So then they're out there seeing all the other fans talk in the Discord channel, you know? And, you know, we get some questions from marketing and saying, like, well, hey, if this is a DAO, we're listening to the community. Like, am I listening to some random teenager on the internet? And we kind of have to explain to them how it works. And then they start to see it's working. You know, we're starting to get incoming sponsorships from people of the community saying, hey, I know this company, talk to this guy. We already have the community voting on our rule set. So, for example, before you weren't allowed to use knees or elbows in the fight, and we let the fans kind of vote, and they decided to add elbows, and that's actually been a great transition. Wow. And yeah, it's been a lot of work, a lot of education, but I think the value we're getting from the community is worth it. And you know, all of these, a lot of these older traditional business fight sports guys, like they're already loving it too. You know, they're loving all the trash talk that's going on Discord, you know, everyone's input into how we're running the business. You know, at first it can be come and seem intrusive, but then when you really start to utilize it in the right way, I think it's something that's great and it's going to help us grow even faster.
Amazing. It's like a Michael Saylor moment where he had to convince MicroStrategy to everyone to let him buy all that Bitcoin. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I had it easier than him, but yeah, it's still a process.
A little bit.
I like that it's like you said, the trash talking, the Discord, and a little bit of that, because there is like a little native piece to you know, kind of fighting like that, where it is personalities, right? Like it is some of the people that are becoming some of these celebrities, like, you know, the Floyd Mayweather's of the world with boxing and everything. Like these are personalities. And so if you can bring that fan base in and make this whole thing a little bit closer, you get so much, like you said, sports are already, you know, like the stickiest product out there. By giving people this much more control and this much ownership in what's going on, I really feel like people are going to love this. People are going to, and it sounds like they already do, but it's like, I feel like you got something really special here.
It's funny you say that. I mean, we're a young, new, you know, exciting company. You know, everyone involved is creative, you know, easygoing. We were in the Discord the other day and we saw some guy had a Karate Combat neck tattoo that he posted. First thing we did, get that guy out here. He's coming to the next event. We put him front row.
Nice.
And then, you know, we have a whole bunch of sort of interesting back and forth. You know, we had some guy in the Discord that was just trash talking all of our fighters. And, you know, he actually had a real background in fighting. So he said, hey, we'll put your money where your mouth is. You can come out. You know, we looked at some of his fighting tapes. He said, hey, you want to be a qualifier? We'll get you out here. So, yeah, it's really interesting how this whole thing allows, you know, the athletes and the fans just have a really direct connection. It's not just saying it, you know, it's not some guy just in the Twitch chat, right? You know, we're getting real back and forth, real engagement, and it makes it a lot of fun.
What does this do, I guess, from like a culture perspective? Like, what are you seeing? Like, I mean, going and transitioning into this where the community has such a voice, what is it doing to everyone that works for the entity?
Well, it's definitely caused, it's made everyone excited, to be honest. You know, before you've been working in fight sports your whole life, and then, you know, these two, you know, someone comes in and says, hey, look, I have this new concept, it's going to supercharge things. Well, now that they see it starting to work, they're really excited. And the other interesting thing about our corporate culture, if you look at MMA, a lot of it's just hardcore trash talking. You know, some guy is saying he's going to kill someone's family, do this XYZ to the guy's wife. A big part of martial arts is respect, you know, respecting your opponent, you know, self-defense. And a lot of the people, so martial arts actually completely outweigh the number of people doing MMA. So for instance, 2.5 million people do MMA in the United States. 100 million people practice Shotokan worldwide. That's just one style of karate, right? So you had this big group of people that kind of had these values that were really interested in fighting, but were culturally different. And a lot of them were following, you know, the UFC because that was the only thing out there. You know, now they have another league that kind of fits with their core values. And I think a lot of the stuff works in Web3 too. You know, it's not, you know, obviously there's some trash talking out there, you know, but I think it's a community with a lot of people that want to align interests and get things done in a respectful way, and be respectful of what everyone else is doing in the community. So I think it's an interesting fit. And we're really excited, you know, the impact the Web3 community has had on our traditional business already.
There's like an honor to it a little bit that changes, like that, just that little bit of thread there that changes, I feel like, what it all looks like and kind of grows from there. And so you said, you know, 100 million people worldwide, which obviously means, you know, there's a lot, this is an international market as well. How does that kind of play into the strategy around, you know, whether it's all digital, it's pushed out there, like you said, in all of these countries, how are you guys thinking about where to focus, right? It's like, if you're like a little bit more of an on the ground company, like an Uber, you got to pick a city, you got to go expand. How do you kind of, you know, prevent yourself and the team from maybe potentially getting spread too thin on things when you're like, which market do we do marketing in? Which market do we do, like, in those areas that need kind of that incremental increase?
So this is something that we're really starting to focus on going forward. We're still a small, lean organization. And just given the way media is so global today, we've been able to come out of nowhere and experience this explosive growth. And frankly, we weren't focusing on one or two markets. We just kind of put the content out there, and it really grew. Now that we're becoming more mature, we have different, where we're putting together different groups of different community managers in each area. But our big targets, we still have a lot of people from the United States, a lot of people from Europe, and then our one big market that you might not think is actually Brazil. For in Brazil, after soccer, mixed martial arts is the biggest sport in their country. Whenever we talk to investors or anyone down there, they're always talking about how it's taking off locally. So, we've started to focus on those communities a bit more. Southeast Asia, we also have a pretty big footprint, and we're looking at kind of developing those communities and hiring the right people internally to focus on those areas. And we have it for a few areas, but that's something that we definitely are looking to expand over the next couple of years.
Let's talk about the fighters. I mean, maybe from the beginning, like how does one come in and qualify, and how do they like advance from there? There's that side of it, but then like there's a really, really interesting conversation here around taking the token and incentivizing fighters and rewarding those fighters. And this is a huge topic, right? It's a huge topic with UFC. The fighters, a lot of them are saying they're not getting paid what they're worth. And there's now a bunch of other leagues. I know there's like Bellator, and there's like I don't know, tons of them, right? That are now competing with UFC. And how does this all come together with the token?
So for me, one of the best things about Web3 is aligning incentives. And we think the model that we're putting in place is going to really revolutionize the way it's done in sports. So when we spoke earlier, I'd mentioned there's up-only game, right? So I have some Cry tokens, fights coming up. I'm going to try to pick the winners so I can win more tokens, right? Who are these fans going to pick, right? They're probably going to pick the person they're most interested in, right? And that person, whoever promotes their fight the best, right? So what we're doing is we're taking the total pool that's sort of that the fans are placing their tokens on. So the fight where the most fans are picking a fighter, and so we take that total pool, the number of tokens that were sort of snapshot voted for that fighter or for his opponent, and we're giving the fighters a percentage of that pool. And they can see how the tokens are being placed real time. So, what a lot of leagues do is, they basically say, look, you need to be interesting. You need to promote your fight, or we're going to fire you. And then they sit around and argue about the money, right? With us, if they go and they do something crazy at the weigh-in, and everyone wants to watch, one of our fighters is Black Magic. He showed up, with like a magic hat and did a magic trick, very, very funny character. If the token pool was going, he would be able to see, his pool going up, and he knows he's going to get a percentage of that. So it's a great way to align incentives. And as the league grows, the value of the token grows. Obviously their compensation will increase as well. So we think it's a perfect way to just kind of get everybody on the same page. We still incentivize them as cat with cash as well. You need sort of the base to pay, and this is all extra incentive for them. But we think it's a great model, and we think a lot of other leagues are going to have a problem competing with a league that's able to incentivize its fighters in this way, because they can't with their traditional corporate setup. And to answer your first question about how we get these fighters, we have a huge fight organization. So, starting a fighting league is a lot different from other businesses. You have to scout the fighters, leading up to the event. You have to make sure they're getting in shape, all sorts of different things. And we have a huge group of employees, and all they do is scout, and they find the best fighters. We don't have the same athlete pool as the UFC, because they're attracting grapplers as well. Our guys are more explosive, striking only fighters, so we don't really overlap with them. We actually draw a lot of fighters from Olympic karate, some from Muay Thai, kickboxing, but we have sort of a different pool that we're sourcing from, and we'll see. Who's winning XYZ league, the champion over there, we'll take a look at him, and if it makes sense, we might make an offer to bring a new fighter in.
And so they're contracted, but also part of that incentive is like the token the community's participation of it, that is tremendously disruptive. And that is really, this is a big experiment for all sports. I'm so excited to see this play out, man. I mean, really, really exciting.
Yeah, we're excited about it as well, just because it's not just about getting the payment right. It's about getting them to kind of promote the fight the best that they can, to grow their career the best that they can, you know, because we all win together. And I think that's just the perfect incentive mechanism to do that.
I'm just thinking basketball, how many points does someone score? Like how are they performing based upon their position? Like do the fans follow them? Are they having jersey sales? Are they having like there's so many elements to it, but none of that, it's all abstracted from the community today. It's just going into some corporation's pocket and the community gets nothing back on that stuff. So really crazy.
Yeah, and now that you're touching that, so another thing that I should mention is our IP strategy, right? It kind of goes back to the core thing that, you know, it's not just us launching an NFT, it's about us making our whole company Web3 native. So, you know, if you look, you'll see a whole bunch of NFT games out there. Usually the way it's worked traditionally is the NBA will go to whoever, give them a traditional license, you know. Usually they'll take whatever it is, set 70% of the total fees, and there'll be a supplier that gets a small percentage. What we did is we went and said, I have to be careful because of the legal terms, but not legally, but effectively what we're doing is, you know, making all our IP permissionless, not from a legal sense, but basically the way it works is as long as you fit this criteria, you can use almost all of our IP. So we announced that a couple of weeks ago. We already have 20 people building on top of us. And the split that we give to the community is huge. So the 10% goes back to the Karate Combat token holders, 10% goes to the fighters, and then 80% goes to the community member that built on top of us using our IP. So as long as they're willing to follow those simple rules, they're welcome to build on us in an open source way. We think it's a great way to do things. And we've already had, you know, a tremendous number of builders come to us and want to partner up with us. So we're really excited about how, you know, all these concepts people talk about, we're really excited to actually put them to work and see them working for our company.
I mean, you see this happening even with like NCAA football, right? There's like, they can start to get paid a little bit, you know, and they have to go to, you know, I forget the app where like you could say happy birthday to someone and get $100 or something. It's just like,
cameo,
it's it's like, it's nothing. And it's like, but the way, when you think about this extrapolated onto like college sports, and then also even just kind of community sports, right? And whether it's incentivizing, there's a pool of token that can go back to your city, right? And whether it's a soccer league or a football league or whatever else it may be, a lot of that gets lost and they don't have the tooling to make it happen. And like you were saying, it seems like a lot of people, their first cryptocurrency that they potentially own is going to be Karate token, you know? And I think that that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. We're definitely excited about that. Going back to the builders we're talking about, you know, they're building some of the tools that you're talking about that we're kind of set up to do quickly. So for instance, you know, one idea that we've already come to us is almost make like a fantasy thing where, you know, everyone picks their favorite fighter and whoever is the most accurate gets all of the extra tokens from the group, right? There's so many obvious things that you could build on this. And we're also, it's not public yet, so I can't give away too much, but we're speaking to some of the biggest communities in similar spaces. And we're going to use extra bonus tokens to have competitions between some of these communities in a unique way that we think will really, you know, it'll be fun, right? At the end of the day, you're watching people fight, you know, it's always fun. And, you know, if you can gain some additional tokens at the same time, it's always fun.
So I've got a little bit more of a philosophical one for you though. Why do you think people love fighting so much in combat sports and striking, and so many people practice it, you know, whether it's by themselves on a heavy bag and they're kickboxing, or, you know, why do we love these sports?
People love it because it's the oldest sport in the world. The apes did it. The caveman did it. The caveman did it. The animals do it, right? In the history of mankind, people are always fighting. And there is a lot on the line when you're fighting someone versus, you know, throwing a ball through a hoop. There can be a different level of intensity, you know, if your life's on the line, right? And, you know, their fighting sports are very easy to understand. They're very exciting. And, you know, the old the example everyone in the industry uses is, you know, if you've got a baseball diamond, you got guys playing basketball next to them, and some people playing soccer. If a fight breaks out, everyone stops what they're doing and they watch it, right? And I think that that's what we're seeing now with our whole company, right?
That's such a great way to put that. And it's like, because you're right. Like I play soccer, and you know, in those moments where you either have the ball or you're about to score or do something, your mind is only focused on that one thing. Or with baseball, when that pitch is coming directly at you, you're only focused on that one moment. And it's this kind of freedom of release, you know, from your everyday life and working and everything else. But when you talk about fighting, it's more acute. It's more, you know, there's like a hypervigilance that's there where it's like, man, this person's going to knock me out. And I think there's like some sort of like, you know, allure to that of this is the only thing I could be thinking about at this moment. And it's probably really freeing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely exciting. And it's, you know, I've been to a lot of sporting events. But I think that the intensity watching it is just amazing. Especially at our event, which is different than any other combat sport. So boxing, mixed martial arts, you know, you have a ring, you have a cage, you have something in between you and the fighters. We have a patented pit. Don't worry. I'm sure that'll be open source too. But basically, it's just a slanted square. You can see on karate.com, but it allows the fans to get, you know, 2 feet away from the action. You know, you can literally feel, you know, the pit moving when the fighters hit the mat. So there's just a different kind of intensity. And I mean, we work with a lot of sports partners, and one of the largest sponsorship companies in the world came to us and said, "Hey, we've been doing sports for 20 years, but we've never seen anything like this in our lives. We've never had so much fun at an event, and this is our first one." So I encourage everyone to come see it. Our next two events, our event Saturday and the one after that, are both going to be here at Universal. So I'd love to have anyone in the community come and experience it firsthand. And who knows, there might be an airdrop involved.
I love that. Yeah. Just taking a look at this at the, you know, the patented kind of mat and kind of getting close. It was nice because it was almost as they kind of fell back, it was like they were kind of against the wall a little bit, but they could kind of roll in a different way versus kind of like pinned up, you know, against the gate that's out there. And it just kind of created a little bit of a different dynamic. I will say though, I don't know, I'm going to have to get some karate token and I might have to vote here. When I had saw these guys having to like run back up the corner after they just fought for 2 minutes, I was like, man, that just looks so hard. I'm already tired. You got your ass kicked, and you're like, "Oh, I got to go up this little thing." But
yeah, everything is very highly regulated in combat sports. With the ring, actually, if someone gets injured, it immediately one side immediately opens up. So maybe we can put together a, you know, maybe we can put together some sort of solution for the fighters getting up. But to be honest, it helps the referees a lot. You know, we care about the safety of our fighters, and hey, man, if the guy can't get up the mat, should he really be in there for another round? You know, we've actually had to cue a lot of the referees that there might be an issue with the fighter and sort of stop it early. You know, so, but yeah, it definitely feels bad when you watch that poor guy in there for 3 minutes and then he has to walk up the hill as his reward.
There's something there though with, you know, it's kind of, if there's a knockout or some sort of a knockout in MMA, there's kind of this like final blow that happens, right? And it's kind of like the same reason like my wife doesn't like to watch it. She can kind of watch it and she's kind of interested, but then it's just something just a little bit too much about that, where it's like someone's kind of knocked out and then there's this like, you know, one of the most athletic people on the planet that's built to do this job gets a free open shot at someone on the ground. And I'm not sure if they're still doing that or whatnot, but I kind of noticed that with like the ground and pound piece there, you have a couple seconds to like get on there and win the fight. You kind of earn that, but then it's like, you're not going to have this huge final blow moment. And I feel like, you know, I don't know if when you were thinking about some of this stuff or it just kind of naturally happened, but I would assume that more women also would be interested in this, and whether or not they're probably not going to be the largest demographic, but even doubling the amount of women that are watching and are part of it, I think is maybe interesting.
Yeah, well, what we've done is when you look at combat sports, people say, you know, the UFC was successful, and at the time it was the most brutal thing out there. So, you know, these combat sports fans, they love all the blood, all the guts, things like that. But that's not actually how the industry works. You know, people are really into the techniques, you know, who's doing what as a true sport. So what you've seen is you've seen bare knuckle boxing and some other guys come out and kind of make it more gruesome. When we started karate combat, we wanted to go the other way. We wanted to make a more mainstream combat sport. So for instance, one of the reasons why we don't allow elbows is that creates a ton of blood, right? You know, if I'm a brand, do I really want all this blood over my mat on my brand? You know, with us, you know, there's actually a limited amount of blood. So we've kind of done everything we can to make it more mainstream. And funny enough, that's some of the feedback that we've gotten. You know, guys are always bringing their dates. A lot of these girls have been to UFC events front row. They said, look, you know, we got blood sprayed on us. So like, but this was more respectful. You know, we're very careful with fighter safety. You know, and fights are exciting. You know, there's always going to be a few issues here and there. And I think it's about how you kind of manage the league. And I think you can get just as much excitement, if not more, without all the blood and guts. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, take the fun parts of it and focus on those.
Just to switch topics a little bit, well, I'd love to go back to the token. Notice that you're working with the H-Bar Foundation, Hedera. What was behind that decision? Because, you know, that's a very complicated decision in of itself. Like, which layer one are you working with? And what's it been like?
So we you know, obviously, you know, we had a comprehensive process, and we were really excited with what H-Bar is doing for a number of reasons that led us to choose them. So from the tech side, I won't get into that in too much detail, but our development team, you know, looked through their technology, and they were very happy with what they were doing. You know, there's, you know, all, processing time, all of those different things, you know, are very important to us. You know, the major thing from my side was that their business development was just incredible. You know, I think they've had a lot of positive changes over the last year. We're talking to a lot of, you know, collaborating with a lot of projects that aren't public yet that are working with them. So, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of great things come out of them from a business development standpoint. And we think we're the first of many, and we're excited to be a part of that. But yeah, I think it was technology and business development were the big sort of key factors in our decision.
And they have no gas fees, right? I believe.
Yep. We are also concurrently launching on Ethereum, but the big component to us is the airdrop tokens, right? And because we're going to drop so many of them to so many fans, you know, that's important. So that was a big driver in us, you know, having to basically choose proper level one for this.
So those users will have their own MetaMask wallet or whatever they've got, and they can just go right into that wallet.
Yep. Our app actually has a super thin wallet, so you can do it straight from our app if you want.
Very cool.
Amazing.
That's important, by the way, because, you know, when you're talking about 10 to 15% of your audience, I think you mentioned, has a wallet, that's 85% that doesn't. And so yep, that's an interesting point.
Yeah. And download the app. I think the Web3 community is really good at some stuff. Some stuff is done in a more of a hackerish fashion. We're looking at some of the apps out there. We're a media company. We're like, oh, we can definitely do this part better. So I encourage you guys to, you know, download it when it's available and then let us know what you think.
We will. Well, Robert, man, I appreciate it.
Love it.
This is awesome. I can't wait. Like whenever there's a, you know, an event out here in California, I'm going to be the first one in line to come check it out. I think there's also, you could like follow all the crypto events around like the world because they are international, and just literally do them just at those events. And you could probably get 20,000 people an event with the token. It's
more to come on that as well. But I think okay. If you follow your circuits, you'll be seeing some karate combat there.
I love it. We're going to have to collaborate on that. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks everyone out there for listening. John, as always, and Robert, my man, karate combat, kicking butt. We will talk to you backstage here.
Great. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.